I'm throwing stuff already. We're off to a good start, I guess. I'm so glad to be here with all of you, with my church. I'm going to love all of you so much. This church has meant so much to me throughout my entire life, and so any chance that I can be here with all of you, it's amazing. I'm going to draw your attention tonight to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19. And while you get there and while they get it on the screen, I'd like to take this moment to make an announcement. There is no announcement. I just wanted to see how much rope I had before he got nervous. So now that that's established, we can get going with 1 Kings chapter 19. We see Jezebel sending a messenger to Elijah to let him know that by tomorrow, she intends to kill him. And like any sane man would do, when he receives this message, he gets up and he runs. And so then we later find Elijah underneath a juniper tree where he's pleading with God just to end it all. And he says, I am no better than my ancestors who are already dead. So after this little brief moment of whining, he falls asleep. And twice an angel comes and wakes him and tells him that he needs to eat and drink because there's a journey that he is getting ready to take that is going to require some strength. And so after a 40-day and 40-night journey, Elijah comes to the mountain of God and he finds a cave where he can lay down and rest. And that is what brings us to verse 11, where I'd like to start. Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. And you can probably guess it, the Lord was not in the fire. But after the fire, a still, small voice. And so it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and he went and stood in the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he responds and he says, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant. They've torn down your altars. They've killed your prophets. And I now am alone and they want to kill me. And then the Lord said, go and return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also, you shall anoint Jehu over Israel and Elisha to be the prophet in your place. And if anybody would escape the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. And whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. And so tonight, I would like to speak that there's power and value in a voice. If you'd lay your Bibles down and pray. Lord God, we thank you for the ability to be here tonight to freely worship you and hear your word and be with you. Lord, I pray that all distractions be out of this place, that we would hear your word with our ears and hold on to it with our hearts. God, I pray that you speak in this place and that your word be heard. Jesus. And the church said amen. Now, if you're going to help me tonight, you go ahead and be seated because I want to see the ones who won't. There's power and there's value in a voice. And these voices can be found all around us. Everywhere that you go, every single day. Researchers suggest that on average, any given person by themselves will hear between 20 and 30,000 words in any given 24-hour period. There's voices everywhere. If you don't believe me, next time you get into your car, when you leave this evening, and you turn that radio on, you have FM, or if you're a high roller, you got XM. Press that scan button and listen to the many different voices that begin to flow through those speakers. Or next time you're at home and that TV's on, whether you're actively watching or just using it as background to entertain the kids, listen to the many voices that are coming through. We find voices everywhere, and some of them are very powerful. And if you get enough in the same place, it can become very difficult to focus on whatever you're trying to see or whatever you're trying to hear. I don't know if you've ever tried to walk and have a conversation in a crowded mall. Probably not recently. Those don't exist. But a coffee shop, a restaurant. And before you know it, you can find your voice getting louder and louder until your throat starts to itch and you realize, why am I yelling? Because that's the only way that somebody 2 feet away from you across the table will hear what you're trying to say over all the other voices. These voices are powerful. Be careful of your reaction. It'll show your age. In New Zealand, there was a concert, a Foo Fighters concert. And it had no more than probably 50,000. But this crowd, as the band took the stage, grew so loud that two different seismic stations in two completely different locations began to pick up the voices of this crowd on their monitors. And they were so powerful that they were registering as a small earthquake. These voices, they have power. And every single day you come in contact with voices that have power. And after a while, some of those voices begin to not just have power, but they begin to have impact. I'm sure that if I took a poll across the room, we'd be pretty close to everybody who could stand up and draw a memory, whether good or bad, of something somebody throughout their life has said to them or about them that they'll never forget and that has had impact. Voices have power, but the trick is identifying through all of these voices which ones we should allow to have value. Think of the impact had Elijah not been able to hear through the noise and find that voice. But now think of the impact had he not been able to identify that this voice should have value, even when what it's telling me to do is very uncomfortable. What would those cities or those people look like in verse 15 and 16? What would Elisha's life look like? What would Elijah's life look like? But because of these many voices, sometimes it can be difficult to identify what we need to be hearing. And even though you may be hearing it, it can sometimes be difficult to pinpoint that that's the one we should value. And so you'll need voices in your life to help. Think of the impact had Samuel not had Eli there to help him understand what was going on in that moment. What would David's life look like? What is the impact down the line if these people were not able to identify this is the voice that should have value? God understands this. That's why we're warned in Matthew 7 to be careful of the false prophet that comes to you in sheep's clothing, but really is a ravenous wolf. It's crucial that through the noise, we're still able to identify that still small voice. To say Elijah had a lot of noise going on around him, I think, is an understatement. If you go back to verse 11, and it talks about that great and strong wind. Now, I can't tell you exactly how loud or what it would sound like to be in the middle of a God-sent great and strong wind. But I can tell you that a pack of motorcyclists use hand signals to communicate for a reason. I may not be able to explain exactly what an earthquake or an avalanche would sound like, but I've seen some videos of what takes place, and I could only imagine, especially being in a cave, as that mountain begins to shake and those rocks begin to crumble, what that would sound like. And as I'm reading this, I was brought back to memories as a child sitting around a campfire and listening to that snap, crackle, pop taking place, and then I tried to equate it on what that would be in the size of something, the California fires, to stand in the middle of that and hear what that sounds like. So again, I think it would be an understatement to say that Elijah had a lot of noise. But then still, there was that still small voice. And it was that sound that was powerful enough to make Elijah act. And when he heard it, all he knew to do was bury his face in his mantle and run to the mouth of that cave to hear what it was that this voice was trying to say. You don't have to turn very far in Scripture to find just how much power is in a voice. You go right to the first chapter of the first book, and as God is creating everything that you see, 12 different occasions a scripture starts with, "and God said," or "and God called." There's power in a voice. But again, you have to identify which one should have value. And a few chapters later, this is exactly what Eve missed. Because as that serpent came and began to speak, her problem was not hearing the voice. Her problem and mistake was entertaining it. Because she identified that this voice should have value. And after a while, that voice, as it was calling into question everything that God had said, it started to have influence. And because of that, she slipped into sin and she took Adam with her. There's power and there's value in a voice. We can see example after example of God speaking throughout Scripture. You can find it where he'll just speak. And so I have no doubt that if he had something he wanted to say, he would have no problem saying it. But the cool part is, he anoints and he sends people like you and like me. And he puts value in our voice to go help spread what his word is trying to say. And he'll do it even when us as people don't see the value in ourselves. Moses said he couldn't do it because he had a little bit of a stutter. Isaiah said he couldn't do it because he had unclean lips. Jeremiah said his youthful age disqualified him. Saul tried to hide in the baggage, and Jonah didn't say anything at all. He just got up and tried to run. There's so many times that we disqualify ourselves from the calling on our life before we ever give him the chance to show us the value that he has put in our voice. But hear me. When we can't recognize it, there's an enemy that does. You can look in the world right now and you can see the voices that the enemy finds power and influence in, because those are the voices that he's trying to silence. This world has tried to completely remove the Christian voice from schools, tried to completely silence the church when it comes to moral issues. It has gone so far to try and completely silence parents when it comes to the things that their children see and hear every single day. And all of this is being done simply to remove your voice. Because when we don't recognize it, and when we can't see it, your voice matters. This is not the first time that the world has tried to silence the voice of God or the people of God. The Pharisees called for the disciples to be silenced and to be rebuked as they were praising and worshiping their king. They wanted them silenced. "I don't want to hear it anymore." And the response they got was, "No, no. You see, if they be quiet, the rocks will cry out in their place." See, we've made it past the time of silent parents. That's not what our children need. We've made it past the time of our silent young people. That's not what these schools need. And ultimately, we've made it past the time for silent Christians, because that is not what this world needs. This world wants you quiet. God does not. Pastor, you know my favorite part of Sunday? When I get here before service and that spirit of Martha gets on me and I just go from one task to task to task to job to job and I never take a moment to take a step back and remember why I'm here. But it never fails that one of those tasks take me to that corner of the building. And as I start walking to that corner and I get closer and closer, I hear a sound that starts to spill out into the hallway. And what I'm hearing is some elders that are in that room in prayer. And I may not be able to specifically tell you what is being prayed in that room. And I'm pretty sure there's probably a wide variety of things that are being prayed in that room. But I am pretty confident that I can tell you what I'm hearing is some people who have identified that if I just cry out on the name of the Lord, no matter what the situation. And so when I get to that corner, what I'm hearing is some elders that are crying out for their families. And they're crying out for your families. They're crying out to cover him. They're crying out to cover this church. And ultimately, they're crying out to cover this city. But what they're doing is crying out. And you can call me selfish, but there's days when I walk by that room and I just reach up and grab a hold of one of those prayers and I take it for myself. Because there's days when I come in here battling things that I'm so mentally broken that I don't know which way is left and right. Or I'm so physically exhausted I'm just dragging my feet. But as I get to that room, the presence of God just begins to fall, and suddenly that situation doesn't seem so important anymore. And that fatigue suddenly doesn't seem to be there, and it's easier to lift my feet. It's easier to lift my hands. And so this is my plea. Elders, please don't ever stop letting your voice be heard in prayer. Please don't ever stop listening to that still small voice and teaching and correcting me, because I don't always get it right. And now I've got a little one running around that's counting on me. Don't let this world tell you that your time has come and gone. I want you to know your voice still matters. But it's not just their responsibility. It's not just the voices of some elders that should be heard in prayer. It's not just the voices of the elders that have been commanded and tasked with the responsibility of taking this word to this world. So young people, just because you're a little bit younger and you got a lot less life experience, it doesn't mean that your voice can't impact your world. Jeremiah was between 13 and 16 when God called him. Joseph was around 17 when God began to speak to him with dreams. David was 15 when Samuel anointed his head with oil. And when I look into this world, I see a world that is not afraid to attack your generation. And that is exactly what tells me that God is not afraid to use it. So if you're having trouble getting that P7 started, or you're having trouble with that CMI, or you're just trying to start a Bible study or a conversation, and it seems like every turn you take, it's roadblock after roadblock after roadblock, understand that's because the enemy is afraid of what you will accomplish when you start to use your voice. Your voice matters. The enemy's biggest mistake was allowing us to keep our voice. Because that means that no matter what the situation standing in front of you is, no matter what you're walking through, you still have the ability to call on the name of the Lord. See, Paul and Silas were stripped. They were beaten. They were thrown into prison. And the scripture says that their feet were fast in the stocks. But you know what I don't see in there? Anything about their mouth. Their mouth was left alone until the midnight hour. as they begin to pray. And they begin to cry out, and those very prison walls began to shake, and those doors swung open, and those chains fell off. And you can look at Peter as he's walking on water, and he starts to focus on the storm around him and take his eyes off of Jesus, and he starts to sink. But before his mouth was ever covered with water, he cries out, and immediately Jesus reaches down and he pulls him out of that situation. Even Jesus, after carrying the cross, being tortured and tormented, and he has a crown of thorns forced onto his head and nails driven into his hands and his feet. But as he hangs there on that cross with little to no breath left, he cries out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And then a few scriptures later, he cries out again with a loud voice and he yields up his spirit. And in that moment, that veil in a completely different location, the veil that had stood as a symbol of a block between us and him, was torn from the top down, and it was the start of a new relationship between God and his people, because there was a man that understood the power and the value of his voice. Stand with me. It was a few weeks ago, last week something, Sister Allison sent me a podcast of a sermon to listen to. And since I've heard it, I've seen videos of what I'm about to say circulating, so you might have seen it. That's all right. But when I heard this, it sat heavy for days. I had no clue what to use it for. I didn't know who would need to hear it, and so I just thought maybe it was me. But when Jesus and the disciples were on the boat crossing the sea to deliver the man from the demons, and Jesus went to the bottom of the boat to take a nap, and that boat began to sail into a storm. If you look at that story, it was not the sound of the wind or the rain that woke him. It was not the violent waves rocking the boat that woke him. It wasn't even the water that had found its way into the boat that woke him. Through everything that was going on in and around the boat, it wasn't until those disciples cried out that he woke up and he came out and he spoke into that storm and he calmed it. So these altars are open. I ask, please, that you come. And before this team ever starts singing, I wonder if you would use that voice. Because I don't know what bondage, and I don't know what change you have brought into this place with you. But I wonder if in your midnight hour, if you would just begin to cry out and watch that prison begin to crumble. I don't know what storm is raging around you that has brought your focus off of him, or how hard you're fighting just to keep your head above water. But while it's still there, I wonder if you would just cry out. Come on, Father. Come on, Mother. There's kids that need your voice. Come on, husband. Come on, wife. There's a spouse that needs your voice. No matter what your situation, when you don't know which way to look or what way to turn, while it's still there, just use your voice, because there's power and there's value in that voice.